One imagines the Buddha body is about 4 feet from oneself. And the level is at the level of one's eyebrows. And if the object is clear, then it's all the better if the object is meditated on as being very small. Because it has a difference with respect to making it easier to withdraw the mind. And one can also meditate on it as being very heavy. One can imagine it as being very heavy.
And this
helps in making the mind non-scattered.
And you can
think of it as, imagine it as emitting a lot of light. This helps to keep laxity from setting in. First of all, one has to look at a properly drawn Buddha image to get a sense of its size and the shape and so forth properly to ascertain it. This is because there's a danger of the several. What do you say? If you use a painting done by a bad painter and the face is very twisted or something, that when you later become a Buddha, you will be enlightened as a Buddha for this sort of figure. Because this which you're imagining now has to remain without changing.
You see, you cannot change, you see, day by day. And also the size, and the color, and the shape. You see, first you must fix a particular one, then, you see, till you qualified meditation, you must take same size and same quality, or, you see, same shape, object.
Then once you've set your mind on the object, what should you do? The meditative stabilization which one is trying to achieve has two attributes, stability and clarity. With regard to concentration, there's nothing fantastic about your mind's just being stable. It's very important for the mind to be clear, vivid. Vividness here refers not just to the object, but to the mind that is imagining that object. The mind must be very vivid itself. It must not only have an intensity to that clarity, but one must also be very alert.
That which
prevents stability is excitement. excitement is the main form of the scattering of the mind. Excitement means to be excited, what do you say, a scattering of the mind to an object of desire. Thus excitement is included with, what do you say, in the factor of desire. And that which prevents the mind from becoming vividly clear is a laxity. So first of all, one stops the mind from being scattered and causes it to remain on the one object. If it gets to be that when you are, what do you say, setting your mind on the object, your mind has become as if dull and like clouded, then this is called lethargy. This lethargy is a cause of laxity. It is not laxity itself. In that former case, the mind, the object was not clear. But then there might be another case in which the object was clear enough, but there was no intensity to the vividness of one's own mind. This is the coarsest form of laxity. So that first one rather was a case in which the object was clear but the mind was not clear. That's the coarsest form of laxity. The second form of laxity is when there's no intensity to the clarity of the mind. And then the subtlest form the subtlest form of laxity is a case in which the mind is clear and there's an intensity to it, but there's a slight loss in the intensity. This is considered to be one of the worst problems. It's very difficult to identify because it's easily mistaken for a faultless state of meditative stabilization rather than as being a state of laxity. So if you say, what could be the fault with this? The object is clear, the consciousness is clear, the consciousness even has a sense of intensity to it, albeit not full. So what's wrong with it?
Mm. 마시코 카도 갈리갈릴 더셈 파 뒤뒤뒤신 너무 교차하게 너무 숙충하게 지치리
Even though it's the case that if one stays in this state of subtle clarity, the mind collects more and more, and even the breath starts to move more slowly in the nostrils. Still, the defect is that your intelligence is getting duller, you're getting more stupid. Thus, it's very important not to come under the influence of subtle laxity.
Yeah, yeah. 当然呢, 다대대비니 친구니 마용야겠다. 다시 근데 저거를
So what techniques can be employed in order to keep such excitement and laxity from setting in?
당연히
First of all, you have to hold on to the object by way of mindfulness.
다 참바 숙전기 대리나 참바 마냥바신의 대리나 참바 시신 당무야래.
And if one has strong mindfulness, that strong mindfulness will act as a cause of introspection. Thus, one of the causes of introspection is a strong mindfulness that doesn't deteriorate. Now, introspection is a case of inspecting the mind on to see whether a fault is setting in or not. There are two types of introspection, a coarser form which is an inspection that comes, say, after excitement or laxity have set in, and a more subtle form that operates before they set in.
The
uncommon cause of the development of strong, of introspection is that one again and again does this sort of inspection with a corner of the mind. The main brunt of the mind is just being set on the object. But as if, a corner of the mind does this inspection. So what is it that one does with these techniques of mindfulness and introspection? So when the mind becomes like lowered or lessened, there is not much, there is no danger of a scattering of the mind. But at that time, there's a danger of developing laxity. But if the mind becomes too heightened, when the mind becomes heightened, this clears away laxity, but there's a danger of the setting in of excitement.
Oh.
Thus, the main thing is that from one's own experience, one has to get to the point where one recognizes that the mind has become too heightened, that excitement is being is setting in, and thus lower the mind, or to recognize that the mind has become too lowered, and that there's a danger of laxity setting in, and thus one, causes the mind to be heightened. So then what are the techniques for causing the mind to become more heightened or lowered? In order to cause the mind to become more heightened, one thinks about some object that one likes, that the mind likes. But not an object that would generate desire. For instance, one could think on the value of developing a calm abiding of the mind, or the value of the type of lifetime that one has already attained, the value of the intelligence of a human.
At
that time, your mind gets a bit more courageous, and its mode of apprehension is heightened. If despite that one's mind still is not heightened but remains in laxity, it's better to end the session. And better to go to some place that you like. It's better to go to some place that's bright. Or to go up to a place where there's a broad view where you can see out very in the distance.
And then fresh air.
Or expose yourself to fresh air, or throw water, cold water on your face. If your mind is too heightened and your mind and thus scattered, then you should think on something that sobers your mind. For instance, thinking on suffering, or thinking that in the past that my mind's been scattered in this way and I've gotten into this sort of trouble. Since a person who is trying to cultivate calm abiding needs to be able to switch the mind in this manner, to switch it upward or to switch it downward, even though at the time of cultivating calm abiding the person is engaged in stabilizing meditation, if the person has done the study of the many topics that we've been talking about previously, and what do you say, has done analysis at that time, the capacity or the potency of that analysis will be with that person during the practice of calm abiding, and the person will be able then effectively say to think on the value of developing calm abiding, or be able effectively to think on the value of a human existence or human intelligence or whatever, and thereby heighten the mind, or will know enough about suffering so that by immediately reflecting on suffering, the power of that previous analysis will cause the over-heightened mind to become less heightened.
Now, go to Mipo Kashi Dinesha, Sim Kasur Pige, Sim Seven, and the China Yundi, Yingri Sim, Sim Nangat Sea, the name which I got.
Then sometimes when the object when the object is not clear, and one's mind is not clear, it's not in a good state, it's possible to, send one's mind out into the sky and refresh it that way. There is a technique explained for doing that. So thus one has to recognize when laxity and excitement arises, and one needs to know the techniques for handling them. And at the time of actually cultivating calm abiding, with respect to whatever is arising, laxity or excitement, one has to right at that time use the appropriate antidote. And then at a time when laxity or excitement are not arising, then if one used too much introspection, that would serve as a cause of scattering the mind. Thus at that time one has to know how not to use the antidote. If when one meditates in that way, one passes up through seven levels. Nine.
Yeah.
nine is too difficult.
Through the power of
hearing about the value of meditative stabilization is setting the mind on the object of observation. And then when through the power of thinking one is able to set the mind more continuously on the object, that's the second level. Then one arrives at the third state when between the mind's being distracted and it's being set on the object, it's more set on the object than it is distracted. And when one immediately when one becomes distracted, one is capable of bringing the mind back to the object. At that time, one's at the third stage, third level, called resetting.
That 남도 마음으로 준 거예요. 딱 능중에 남도 시험에서 메소로 지금 소소 할래야 되지.
When you first when you're at the first level, when you first set the mind on the object or try to set the mind on the object, you see how many. What do you say? You have a sense that you have even more conceptions now than you did before.
아, 드디어 너의 내실이야. 남도 마음으로 치는 말은 남도 못해 다래.
In fact, you haven't gotten more. Conceptions, you're just identifying how many conceptions you already have.
But I'm also Zazim to come back to the Namgit Tabachi or depend Zazim come back to the Chima Mound River Soro. Toss a rather Mound River Sidon.
For instance, when you do Zazen, you think that you have more itches than, or that you have more water in your mouth.
Namgit Korridi, Kota Namgit Nanguavarota.
Even though you have all of these, usually you're paying more attention to them now. Then at the second level, because one is able more to set the mind on the object, then you have a sense that that conceptuality has gotten tired. It's at the third level that one has the sense that conceptuality has gotten tired. On the second level, one has the sense that conceptuality is resting a little every now and then.
It means, is it that? A very active matter, that to slowly
It means that then your conceptuality is not very active, but is moving a little more slowly.
I don't say. Jogwa, Dundu Jogwa, Lendu Jogwa, Tour Jabasta. Mari, Sim Jogwa, Dundu Jogwa, Lendu Jogwa, Nyoran Jogwa. That's Shibir Kadula, that's some meeting Shaya Yamari. That meeting that has you, Kasuri Puget. Meeting Shan Brad, Halam Mershasa, that younger Tresa, that meeting of Tesla Nair Shan Yari.
Then from the fourth stage, from the fourth level on, that called close setting, one will not lose the object of observation. However, from within being able to keep on the object of observation, one can still have subtle excitement and subtle laxity. Thus, subtle excitement and laxity begin from here. It's like a child sitting in the classroom, physically sitting on the chair, but the mind is still
something like that.
So similarly here, the main part of the mind is set on the object, but laxity and excitement are distracting. At that time, one has generated the power of mindfulness. Then the next, the fifth is the state of disciplining. Thus, at this time, at this point, one has passed beyond the danger of gross laxity and excitement. But there's more danger from subtle laxity. At this time, one needs to generate the power of introspection. Then at the time of the sixth level, that called pacifying, So just as at the fifth level there was more danger of subtle laxity, here on the sixth there's more danger of subtle excitement. At this time the antidote is the power of introspection. During the sixth level, one's introspection becomes well qualified. Then the seventh is called thorough pacifying. At this time, it's difficult for any sort of laxity and excitement to interrupt. At this time, one needs strong exertion. Even though laxity and excitement no longer can arise in any strong form, it's necessary deep down to have a strong effort in order to keep that self. Then at the eighth level, called making one pointed, at the beginning of the session, one need only have the thought, I must take care during this session, and that'll be sufficient to keep laxity and excitement from interrupting. Then in the ninth level, that of setting in meditative equipoise, it's like somebody who is trained in recitation, all you have to do is begin and it just goes by itself. For somebody who is practicing highest yoga tantra, at this point, it is okay to practice the stage of completion. Because it is during the stage of generation that one is achieving the stability of these nine levels. Even if one does not generate actual fully qualified calm abiding, which serves as the first, what do you say, as a preparation for the first concentration, it's all right. So I won't go into detail on the six powers and four mental engagements. So let's end the session there.
His Holiness now begins Thursday afternoon.
You stated that in Madhyamaka, all consciousnesses except for the wisdom consciousness experienced in meditation are mistaken. Could you please go over the argument which refute a form existing in its own right from that point of view? That's what it means. The reason why all consciousnesses except a wisdom consciousness that's directly perceiving emptiness are mistaken is that forms and so forth are proved not to exist in their own right.
To
to the wisdom consciousness that directly perceives emptiness, this being a consciousness that has investigated the nature of that object, all that appears is a mere vacuity, which is a negative of the object of negation, that is to say, inherent existence. Nothing else appears. Except for that aspect of a Buddhist consciousness that perceives the many varieties of phenomena, any consciousness that perceives a conventional phenomenon necessarily is involved with the false appearance of the object as if it exists in its own right. And because the appearance factor of that consciousness is involved with this mistake, the consciousness is said to be mistaken. If we are to prove through reasoning the doctrines set forth in Buddhism, how can we reason the stages of consciousness one goes through in dying and rebirth? These are mainly to be known through experiencing them. But if one had to explain them outside of the context of experience, in general, there are many objects which, even though they are manifest phenomena themselves, for a particular person, they could be very hidden.
Thus,
for a person who hadn't experienced them, for that person they would be very hidden phenomena, and thus, you'd, as explained before, you'd have to use the reasoning, the inference of belief that is that involves the investigation into scripture, using the third factor. But there are cases of people who do remember their taking rebirth, or people who remember their death, and so forth. That's how it would be done. You spoke the other day about Deva Putras, demons who are always making obstacles for beings who want to overcome obscurations. For a practitioner of the Buddha Dharma of the greater vehicle, what would you recommend to free oneself of these demons if one knows they are in fact within one, inside one? These sorts of demons are one class of beings among the six categories of gods in the desire realm, in specifically in the class of those who enjoy control over others' emanations. And we ourselves have been born in that situation in cyclic existence. All of us have. And we have acted as horrible demons, all of us.
So
With regard to techniques, if one is being bothered by such a demon, in the mantra system there is the cultivation and meditation of a wheel of protection. And the best of all techniques is to cultivate love. When Buddha, the night before his enlightenment, tamed these sorts of demons, he did it by way of cultivating the meditative stabilization of love. Thus, there are cases when one has a bad dream or nightmare and wakes up, that one, even if one cultivates in meditation the Tantra Quill protection, it won't help. But then if you cultivate love, it does help. That's the best. How does one study Buddhism and maintain a daily practice without becoming attached to it?
Even
most virtuous consciousnesses would have the conception, the misconception of inherent existence as an assister.
Therefore,
it is said in some scriptures that the misconception of the transitory aggregates as real I and mind can serve as an aid in achieving Buddhahood. The reference here is to initial practice. For instance, if one was trying to cultivate compassion but noticed that the conception of inherent existence was becoming involved in it, you couldn't feel that you would stop doing it because the conception of inherent existence was getting involved because you don't have anything else that you can do. Thus, to overcome attachment or to overcome the misconception of the nature of phenomena, you can't just withdraw your mind from all activity. That won't overcome it. It said that in order to reduce the force of the misconception of inherent existence, one has to cultivate the wisdom that realizes the opposite of inherent existence, that there isn't any other way to do it. Thus, if one is becoming attached to one's practice, it'll be through engaging in some supplementary practice to reduce that attachment that one overcomes it. It shouldn't be that one would withdraw from practice. One couldn't overcome the attachment by withdrawing from practice.
Attachment 원하면은 뒤중 초시 쳐버렸어요 아직 다 람냠리 쳐야 하면은 초시 시켜버렸으니 띠 당연 시신 다시 타는 시에요 말고 일단 다 그게 가서 attachment 깨서 유디 가서 우리 랑자인다 다자인다 디단에 딱 오르고